Hey everybody, this is Dawn, aka the Interactive Nanny, coming to you guys live and in living color from Interactive Nanny's World, where love and play are interacting. So today we'll be still coming with some more Black History moments, but I also have another new book that I've gotten that I want to share with you guys. And I've actually been looking at this book for a while, and I finally just broke down and went ahead and purchased it. I like just exploring different cultures and stuff, and the book, it looks just so cute and so sweet, and so I thought I'd just go ahead and get it and sort of, you know, check it out and see what it's all about. So this is what we're going to be doing today. So the name of that, the book that I'm talking about, it's The Proudest Blue, A Story of Hijab and Family, and the author is Olympic medalist, Ibtihaj Muhammad with S.K. Ali, and the art is by Hatim Ali. Okay, here we go. Well, the illustrations are pretty on the and really colorful in the front covers in the first couple of pages. The Proudest Blue. Mama holds out the pink. Mamas love pink. But Asiya shakes her head. I know why. Behind the counter is the biggest, brightest blue, the color of the ocean. If you squint your eyes and pretend there's no line between the water and the sky. It's the first day. Hijab. Asiya knows it. I know it. We're sisters. The next day I wait. A new backpack, new light-up shoes. I feel special. I feel like twirling. Asiya comes out of the house and I stop. It's the most beautiful first day of school ever. I'm walking with a princess, so I pretend I'm one too. But even princesses have to stop to cross the street. Asiya takes my hand in hers and says, come on, Fazaya. We speed walk it. 14 steps, 14 light ups to get across. Asiya takes me to my line first, hugs me goodbye. I turn to watch her leave, give a curtsy to the princess going to the sixth grade area. She's easy to see. Her hijab smiles at me the whole way. My first day hijab is going to be blue too. It's going to be blue too. What's that on your sister's head? The girl in the front of me whispers. A scarf, I whispered back. I don't know why a whisper came out. I try again, louder. Louder now. A scarf. Hijab. Oh, she whispers. Asiya's hijab isn't a whisper. Asiya's hijab is like the sky on a sunny day. The sky isn't a whisper. It's always there. Special and regular. The first day of wearing hijab is important, Mama has said. It means being strong. I turn, but I can't see the blue anymore. I run to the big kid's side, 27 steps to see Asiya. I need to give her another hug. I need to see her smile. Faiza, Asiya's eyes wonder why I'm here. Are you excited, I ask, about the first day of hijab? She nods, smiling big, and I feel better. Someone laughs from nearby, a boy pointing at Asiya. Why? Asiya's hijab isn't a laugh, a sissy job. It's like the ocean wave into the sky. It's always there, strong and friendly. Some people don't understand your hijab, mama has said. But if you understand who you are, one day they will too. In class, I draw a picture. Two princesses in hijabs having a picnic on an island where the ocean meets the sky. The girl who whispered in line says she likes it. She says it loud. She says it so loud. The teacher comes over and sees it. I wonder if Asiya drew a picture too. Recess time is for 5 cartwheels in a row. And I land the first one near the 6th graders. Near Asiya and her friends. Near a boy yelling, I'm going to pull that tablecloth off your head. Oh, wow. Asiya's hijab isn't a tablecloth. Asiya's hijab is blue. Only blue. Asiya turns away. Her friends turn away. They race to the middle of the schoolyard, their shoes pounding the pavement. Mama, don't care around the hurtful words that others say. Drop them. They're not yours to keep. They belong only to those who said them. It takes me 48 steps to get away from the yelling boy. After school, I look around for whispers, laughs, and shouts, but I only see Asiya waiting for me. Like it's a regular day. She's smiling, strong. We cross the road hand in hand. I can't wait to get home to show Mama the picture I drew, to show Asiya that I'm wearing the same hijab in it. Because Asiya's hijab is like the ocean and the sky, no line in between them. Saying hello without a loud wave, with a loud wave. I'm sorry, y'all. Saying I'll always be here, like sisters, like me and Asiya. And that's the end of the story. So yeah, I really like that, and it's, you know, it has a message to it. You know, just because people don't understand your background and where you come from doesn't mean it's not important, because it is, and it does. You, each person matters. So that was The Proudest Blue, and I got it off Amazon if you're interested in getting it. So you can go on Amazon or eBay, or you can go to your local bookstore, or you can go to like thrift books or other online outlets and order The Proudest Blue for you and your littles. And now we're going to get into the Little Leaders, Bold Women in Black History. And we're gonna read about Ida B. Wells. Let's go to her page and see. We're going to read about Ida B. Wells. Ida B. Wells was born in 1862 and she died in 1931. She was a journalist and an activist. Ida was a natural-born activist. Wherever she saw injustice, she stood up against it. She was born enslaved in Mississippi, but emancipation came to the South when she was still a child, and this meant she had the opportunity to get an education. After college, she worked as a teacher, but lost her job for criticizing the poor conditions of the black segregated schools. In 1884, 71 years before Rosa Parks refused to give up her seat on a bus in Montgomery, Alabama, Ida refused to leave her seat in the women's car on a train in Memphis, Tennessee. She had purchased the first class ticket, but was asked to leave and join the African American car. Ida did not go quietly. She filed a lawsuit against the railroad and eventually won her case. There was no rule that said black women could not ride in the women's car. However, segregation legislation was soon implemented in Tennessee, and Ida received no further justice in the matter. 3 years later, her case was overturned. She took her frustrations and wrote an article in the newspaper under the name Iola, and later became known as Iola, Princess of the Press. Journalism became her outlet. She was the owner and editor of the Memphis Free Speech and Headlight, and later the Free Speech. She took a major stance against lynching and faced death threats for her words. In 1898, she led a huge anti-lynching campaign all the way to the White House. Ida knew the power of words and knowledge and continued to use her voice to stand up for what was right. And that was Ida B. Wells. And we got one more for this episode. Let me see who we're learning about. And this one is The Little Legends, Exceptional Men in Black History. And we're going to learn about Garrett Morgan. All right, let's see what we're going to learn about Mr. Garrett today. All right. Garrett Morgan, he was born in 1877 and he passed in 1963. Inventor Garrett was always inventing, interested in how things worked. He had no schooling past grade school, but he didn't let that hold him back. By the age of 14, he had worked as a handyman around Cleveland. In 1901, wait a minute, back up. By the age of 14, he had worked as a handyman. By the age of 14, he had worked as a handyman. And by 18, he had taught himself enough to get jobs at sewing machine companies around Cleveland. Okay, there we go, guys. In 1901, Garrett sold his first invention as a part for a sewing machine. And a few years later, he was able to open up his own shop. That was amazing. He soon became a successful businessman and inventor. In 1914, Garrett filed a patent for his next invention. After witnessing the fire, he noticed that the firefighters combated the blazes with no protection over their eyes or face. He thought that a mask could shield the men and keep them from inhaling smoke. He devised a safety hood that covered the face using a hose to access fresh air from below. Many people were reluctant to buy inventions made by black men, so he often hired white actors to conduct demonstrations so customers would give his creations a chance. Eventually, his business grew, and fire departments in Ohio, Pennsylvania, and New York were using his hood. Garrett wasn't just an inventor and businessman, though. He was also a hero. After a tunnel explosion in 1916, Garrett, using his safety hood, rushed in to pull out workers. He saved two lives. In 1923, he filed a patent for his next invention. At the time, automobiles were on the rise and sharing the road with horse-drawn carriages, bicycles, and pedestrians. Traffic signals went from stop to go with no notice, and it was dangerous. After Garrett witnessed a terrible crash, he had an idea for a warning signal. It was a precursor to the red, yellow, and green signals used today. Garrett paid attention to the world around him and looked for opportunities everywhere. He proved that inventing wasn't just about coming up with new ideas, but could also, excuse me, you guys, but could also be about improving upon existing ideas, helping people, and making the world a safer place. And that was Garrett. Hold on, guys. Garrett Morgan. All right, so before we end this episode, I want to tell you guys about this product that I've been trying for a couple of weeks, and it's really great. It's called Magic Mind, and what Magic Mind is, it's like an energy shot, but it's healthy. It's not like an energy drink. It's like, it comes in a little bottle. It's just like a green smoothie, but not a green smoothie, but it's in like a little small shot form. Anyway, I I was a little reluctant at first, but I was like, let me give it a go. So I tried it for a couple of weeks, and it really does wonders. Like, it gives you energy, but it also helps you with your focus and sort of keeping you on task as far as you're not losing your train of thought or whatnot. Your energy level, it doesn't have you feeling like jittery or anything. It just gives you like a natural burst, and whereas you're able to go on throughout the day. I didn't feel any negative repercussions from it or anything. I thought it was great. And I can really say this because normally I don't drink green drinks or whatnot. And so when I got it, that was another reason for me to sort of pause. I was like, I don't know if I would do this. But I did try it, and it wasn't what I thought it was going to be. And it's healthy. It has healthy ingredients in it and stuff like that. But again, it's called Magic Mind. So if you would like to try it, you can go online and you can order it and see what you think about it. But I thought it was great. So again, take the time to check out Magic Mind Energy Shots. But until then, this is Dawn, aka the Interactive Nanny, signing off from Interactive Nanny's World, where love and play are interacting. And we will see you guys. Well, not see you guys. We will talk to you guys next week. Until then, this is Dawn. Talk to you guys later. Bye-bye.